Good evening, Abayisai.
Good evening.
Well, we're going to be learning Simon Kuf Nun Sif Dalet. Hey, tonight, Mitz Hashem. Maybe we're even going to start Simon Kuf Nun Aleph. Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. We'll be learning an interesting halacha. This halacha, which, what happens if a person has got a house, his house has got windows, and he's got a beautiful view, even if it doesn't have a beautiful view, but either way, he's got windows looking out. And a person, his next door neighbor, decides to make an extension in a way that it goes right into the, close to the window. Hence, it blocks now the view out of his window. Is this a problem, yes or no? Blocking the view. Speak to Barn and Council, that's right. Is there a problem to block the view, blocking windows, or not?
I don't think so, because supposing you've got a house, flats in Eretz Yisrael, and they're looking over beautiful countryside, they decide to extend and build on the roads beyond there, therefore blocking out the view of the countryside, and I seem to remember that they were doing that, and therefore there must be some heter, or it must be mutter.
Good. Yeah.
So my father, Oliver Shalom, was an expert in British civil law around things like rights of light, and amongst other things, and he wrote a book on rights of light, and he was looking through an article called Gomorrah, I think it was Baba Basra, to do with various different things, and party wars and whatnot. And he did comment how much British civil law is based on Talmudic law.
Was solicitor in?
No, he was a surveyor.
Surveyor.
And I don't know the details, but he definitely seemed to suggest that there was a lot of overlap, and that there is definitely a whole rights of light thing in the Gemara.
Rights of light, is that what it's called? Right, indeed. The halacha is somebody who blocks, who builds, and he blocks, and he penetrates within the four amas of the window of a house owner, within four amas of the window, it's a problem. You're not allowed to do that. Four amas is a problem. What about if a person blocks a window of a shul? Is that a problem or not? So again, the halacha is if you've got a house with more than four amas, it's not considered a substantial enough blockage. I don't know why. I don't know if that fits British law. I don't know. I don't know why four amas. But if it's four amas, it's a problem. More than four amas, it's fine. Distance for more than four amas, it's fine. You're not considered blocking the light. However, when it comes to shul, what's the halacha? What would be the halacha with regards to shul? Do you think that the same rule should apply? Yes or no? Also, even more so. Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalet. Haboinei keneged chaloin beis haknesset. Somebody who builds keneged opposite chaloin, the window of beis haknesset of a shul. Ein maspik loy beachokas aba ames. It's not sufficient to have four ames distance. It's not good enough. Lefi shutzoich oyer gadol, shul needs even more light. Remember, we're talking about pre-electricity days, and therefore all the light will come from the from outside, from the exterior. If you build something within or outside, just outside the window, you're gonna block the light coming into shul, and that's wrong. So not while in a normal residential house, four amas is good enough. When it comes to shul, it has to be more than four amas. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if cotton tes ein maspik lo roitzel oima. Teilu bono koisel birshusoi. If he bought a wall birshusoi neged chaloyne shel chaveroi in his own domain, opposite the window of his friend, dinahu the halacha is tetzorich lahachik. He needs to distance arba amas for amas kedei in order shel yafil. It shouldn't make dark as chaloynoi the window of his friend, v'dayin, that's sufficient. Aval, however, v'sakneses, in a shul, t'tzorich oyer godoil, that he needs a huge amount of light, mahaniach sokas chaloinu sheish b'mikva, sh'tzorich la'achig yoise, it's not good enough to have 4 amas distance, you'll need to have even more distance. He doesn't say how much, v'lo nisperek hama yoise, it's not clear how much more than 4 amas you need, v'al kol ponim v'shmoin amas, v'at aysagi, but certainly 8 amas is not going to be sufficient. 8 amas is going to be fine, but less than that may be problematic. Definitely more than 4 amas, and 8 amas is certainly fine. I'm skipping 2 lines. Kosev Ramah, b'tshuva serves him in Amid Beis. Chatzah Beis HaKnesses, a chatzah of a Beis HaKnesses, she'ein bo itash mishtzunu ala rabim. You've got a courtyard of a shul. Ein yichol elim chois liyochid she'pesiach shom chalunoy sav. Imagine if you've got a courtyard of a shul and there's an individual person, a yid, who lives on the other side. Can the other side open up a window to go to see, to look into the courtyard of the shul? Yes or no? Can he do that? Would you stop him? If you be the gabbah of the shul, would he say, excuse me, block your window, don't look into the courtyard of the shul? Or is that okay or not okay?
That's his property.
It's his property. Well, you could stop him if he's looking right into your own house. You could stop him. You could say, excuse me, this is my own place, you know. Can you stop him from looking into the shul courtyard? So the halacha says, the Rama, that you can't, there's nothing private taking place there in the courtyard of a shul. You do not stop an individual wants to look into the private domain, that's fine. Into the shul domain, that's fine. You're not going to stop a person having a window right into the public domain. Similarly, if you have a private individual looking into a shul, that's fine as well. However, the vice versa. If you've got a shul, if you've got over here windows going straight into the private domain, imagine you could see from the window of a shul, you could look into the private domain of an individual, he can come along and say, excuse me, that's my private domain over here, that's where I'm living, that's my private area, don't open up windows over here. He can protest. He can say, excuse me, you are public, I'm an individual, don't, I want my privacy. You can do that. Right, I'm skipping a few lines because there's an interesting halacha later on. Quite a few lines down. Kosa b'sif chsidim simen tov tov tez zayin. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6, approximately 6 lines in this edition. He brings the sif chsidim a new topic, an interesting shaila, which Mishnah Berurah feels appropriate to put over here. Chaloin shehoylech keneged rishus rabim. We're talking about a window which leans into the public domain. You've got people passing this area going to shul. Do not pour waste water. Sewage, basically. Minach alone from the window. Remember, in previous generations, the sewage wasn't as sophisticated as we've got nowadays. You haven't got the, it just reminds me, today was really interesting. I was passing, I saw this, this water, what's called a water company? They're called the water company, what is it called? Thames Water, Lee Valley, okay, they were like, they came in all their clothing with a van, or a couple of vans, they came around, they were all busy, and all with lots of tools and computerized digital tools, and I don't know what, cameras and everything, and I asked them what's going on over here. He said, well, there's some evidence for toxic pollution in the water. I said, really? And it wasn't far from my house. So I said, really? That's toxic. The water is polluted. That sounds quite bad. And he says, yeah, it is. It is polluted. We have to deal with it. And then I said, oh, I think my tap water. I better make sure that we don't use the tap water. And he said, no. It's nothing to do with the fresh water. It's the sewage water. And then I said, well, the sewage water, of course it's going to be toxic. He said, no, we have to make sure it doesn't go. We have certain guidelines for that too. That's what it was, there's guidelines for that too. So it's quite unbelievable, but there's guidelines for that too. It's quite interesting. I think it was quite interesting. So we have got nowadays, I must say, we've got very high expectation of our surroundings. In the previous generation, as the Chassidim says, who have got people used to throw the wastewater, they used to throw the wastewater out the windows. And as Yosef Chassidim writes, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that if this is an area that people walk past, then you have to ensure not to do that. You have to find alternative option. Don't throw the, there are people who are going to go very early to shul, and when they're going in the dark, in the morning early, they go to shul, they won't be able to be careful, they're going to get dirty, their shoes, and they're going to get dirty from all the sewage which is on the passage. And the pasuk says, you should guard your feet, as you're walking, El Beis Elokim, to the house of Hashem, obviously referring to shul. Ad kan l'shoynoi. Pelavach yesh leizoyer, and certainly one should, either way, one should be careful. Shalish pach shoyfchim b'mokim alach ne adam. One should never pour any shoyfchim, any waste waters, in places where people may potentially walk. Shlo yachliku b'am, they may not. You have to make sure they don't get disturbed by that. Shukmoy boi b'rishus rabim, it's as if they were boir. A pit in Rishus Rabim. Because of Beshev Sher is Yosef, Shechina Beis HaKnesses, Sheshlon Beis HaKisse. If there's a neighborhood, there's a Beis HaKisse, Shemagia Mino Reach Ra, and there's a Reach Ra, there's a strong odor emerging from the Beis HaKisse, Le Beis HaKnesses into Shul, Tzrichin Leachik, they've got the right to protest and say the Beis HaKisse has to be removed. Afilim called the Beis HaKisse, Lebinya Beis HaKnesses, even if the Shul was built after the Beis HaKisse, they've got the right of requesting the removal of the Beis HaKisseh. Nevertheless, Tzrichan Esalke, Dishani Ezeket Rabim, it's causing a Ezeket Rabim, Mezeket Yochel, Oshet Tzrichan Loses Lo Domer, they have to pay him, obviously, V'domi Le'odu Mevur, B'choy Shemishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Hesif, Chov Beis, Ein Chom, V'ayim Ashkos, Mugan Avom, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet Bezeh. So we're learning that the person should be very careful, the surrounding of a shul should be clean, and should be not, whether it's Re'acha, or worse than that, so it should be very careful that the ways to the shul has to be clean. Right, let's go back to Shulchan Aruch. Maybe just to add an interesting Sefer Chassidim, which I saw. Sefer Chassidim says an interesting story. Sefer Chassidim says an interesting story. It's quoted. And let me quote, please, Loshna Sefer Chassidim, which I've got written down over here. Ma'ase ba'otam echad, Sefer Chassidim brings sometimes very interesting. Remember, Sefer Chassidim is an ancient, from the times of the Rishonim, basically. And it brings interesting, some people are makpid on Sefer Chassidim, some people less so, but certainly the Sefer Chassidim has very, very interesting limudim. Ma'ase ba'otam echad, it was the story of one person. Shehoya beisoy samuch le beis haknes, his house was really close to shul. He lived close to shul. He was really close to shul. His house was really close, adjoining shul. His children died. One after the other. Nebuch. Sonst wissen. The wise person told him, your children are dying. He obviously asked for some advice. What's happening? His children died. What should he do? So he asked the Chacham, and Chacham told him, I'll tell you what you should do. Omar lei Chacham. Lefi shebeischa, since your house is on top of the window of the shul, and it's disturbing the light, you're disturbing from light entering the shul, therefore, yeah, that's why your children are dying, chalila. You somehow built your house, you made an extension, and it's disturbing the light entering the shul. Because of that, that's why your children are anifta. He saw to it, v'niskayim ubonav, the Sefer Chassidim says. V'niskayim ubonav is after he sorted it out, and after it was fine. So obviously, what we learn from it, achreni bring this ma'aseh of Sefer Chassidim. What do we see from that? I think that, what do you think? What do we see from that? How careful one should be when one makes an intention that it doesn't damage any light coming into shul, and it doesn't take anything away from the shul. Yeah, it's another point as well. But okay, Siv Hey Rabbi Say, Ein Poischem Pesach Pesach Knesses. The entrance. I wonder. It's a good question. What do you think about this interesting question, electric light? Say somebody builds a house right in front over here, and it disturbs all the light from penetrating. Less than 4 amas. Certainly less than 8 amas. But you've got a light switch that you can... What do you think? Is that a problem? Yes or no? Very interesting, Shaila.
I think it still is a problem. Still because people people don't have obscured windows often like this. And if it's a clear window and it's right on top of you, it doesn't create such a pleasurable view or amenity if the wall's right on top of you.
Yeah.
So it's not just possibly the light, it's possibly also being in a pleasant environment if you're in the house you live without another house or dwelling right on top of you.
It depends on the shul as well, because you mentioned to Nika last night, there's a shul called the Miklat on that same street.
Oh, yes.
Remember the Miklat?
There's no lights there, there's no windows there.
There's no windows at all.
Yeah.
So in a shul like that, makes no difference at all. But if a shul like this with the panoramic views of Bloody Road, then it
would
be different.
Well,
even in these days, they had candles in shuls to bring light, and even with those candles, they still say that this halakha applies. So
yeah.
There's an additional minhag of candles anyway. There's a minhag of candles anyway. It's a
separate. Yeah. Yeah, she's saying that either way. It's a very interesting question. Surprisingly, I didn't actually see any poskim mamash emphasizing this point. I imagine the halacha remains the same because I think we all agree that daylight is much more pleasant and much more healthier than electric light. They're trying their best with all the most modern lights, but I think that we all agree that daylight. There's nothing like a geschmack, a good daylight. I think we're agreeing on that, right? So I imagine that the halacha was not going to be changed because of that. What do you think? Yeah. Okay. We do not, the opening of the shul should be opposite. So we all know every city has got a slightly different degree, slightly different direction where you daven to, right? We've spoken about that. You daven towards Mizrach, you daven towards Yerushalayim, HaKodesh. So obviously every city, by definition, is going to have really slightly different, ideally, should have a slightly different way you're facing Yerushalayim, HaKodesh. The halacha here is that the entrance should be on the opposite side of where you're davening to. So ideally, if you're davening towards this direction, the entrance to the shul should be where I'm pointing to now. He should be coming from the opposite direction. You should walk into shul from the opposite side. Shem is spalling in the Ma'irov. If you're davening towards Ma'irov, you have to chul le Mizrach. It should be opened. So if it's east, you should have the opening west, or vice versa. Kedei sheishtachvu min ha-pesach neged ha-oroin. That when you enter, you should be able to bend down towards the oroin as you enter. Shehu beruach shemispalin kenegdoi. That you're davening in that direction. As you walk in, you should be able to do ishtachavu in the right direction. Right. So this is the halacha. Again, the Mishneh Berurah says, in our countries, that we daven mishtachim keneged Mizrach, we bow down towards Mizrach because we are in the east, so we daven towards we are in the western. Well, we are in Europe, so we daven towards the east, sort of. So the engine should be in the west. The entrance has to be done by Marov, Kedesh Yishtachvu in a Pesach Neged HaKodesh. In other words, as you walk in, you should be able to do Yishtachavu towards the Oron HaKodesh. The Bialach speaks about the problem that it's not always so simple to arrange for that. It's not always so feasible. I even saw that the Chavaz Yoi brings down that the minig is in many countries not to be makpit. If you think about, if you count the shuls that you know, how many actually have the entrance in the back?
United Small Beis Medrash.
Absolutely, that's perfect, yeah. How many other shuls do you know? Pardon? Kohl, that's right. Perfect. Yeah, I think it's the minority of the shuls who are able to be makbid. I think.
Coincidence in some of the cases.
Probably, yeah. It's quite interesting that very often it's not shaykh to do. I think the purpose-built big shuls that we know, think about, for instance, monks, think about, well, United is also, United is interesting that they weren't able to do it, actually.
It wasn't purpose-built.
Ah. Okay, so I think that the big shuls generally, they try to aim for it. There is interesting that by the Chassidim, it appears they will makbi not to. And we'll be learning soon why, Mitzvah Hashem. not mamash soon, it might be one of the recorded shiurim, but some chassidim, I think some chassidim are makbi not to do that. We'll get to that, to a reasoning at a later share. Right, continues the Rama with other very important halacha. The oisin bima be'emtza beis haknes says that the bima has to be in the middle of the shul. Shiyamo idolei ha'koyre b'toyre v'shmekulam, that everybody should hear the kriyas ha'toyre. V'kshemispale la'shliach tzibu ponov klape ha'kodesh, when the shliach tzibu davens ponov, he should be facing the own ha'kodesh, v'seter ha'shi v'kachi. The order, the seating arrangements should be as follows. Ha'zkenim yoishvim pneim klape ha'om, the zkenim should be facing the people, the congregation, Shishar Kolaom, and the remains of the people, Yoishvim Shura Shurash, they should be sitting in lines and lines, Pneim Kape Kodesh, they should be facing the Oran HaKodesh, Pnei Askenim, and they should be facing the Skenim, the Skenim and Tamed Chomim of the Kehila. So we're learning this, Ramo is actually very, very important, because we're learning a few halachas here. First, we're learning the Bima in the middle. Mishnah already points out something which was not as an issue in Litter as it was in Hungary and in Germany, but the Mishnah does point out in Seif Cotton. No, it's actually Bialocha. In Bialocha, let's start with Bialocha. Be'emtza beis haknes, the beam has to be punked in the middle. Ken mevu abrama v'tur. Mina kodemu mekoyer masach esukat dafn alef umut beis moshkos v'agro. There's 10 reasons the Maharshik brings down. 10 reasons why we should be makbid on the bima being dafke in the middle. 10 reasons. There's only one brought down over here that it should be for, that it should be more audible and everybody should hear it. But apparently the Achronim bring down 10 reasons why it should be doimed to the Mizbeach, should be doimed to many reasons why the bima should dafke be in the middle. And now he brings down Vavisenu Rabbim Be'ezim Mekoimois, for our great sins in many, some places. Potsumine Kudumim, that this ancient meaning has been breached. And the bimas have been started to be put in front of the Ona Kodesh. Mipnei, because she wrote to Lelech Bedaka of the Gilulim, they want to copy the Goyim, Kmush Oisim Becholo Shalahen, Shikorin Temple. Because the Tiflis, they have their equivalent is very much in the front. And some, and this is from this obviously emerged from the Reform movement, they want to copy that, and therefore they put the Reform movement, they put the bimas very much in the front of their shul. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yeshlikar alein v'yishkach Yisrael oisehu v'ayven eicholos v'kvarichu apoyskim achonu b'knus hanoshim ha'elu." This is a terrible issue. And it says, "V'yishkach Yisrael oisehu." Yisrael has forgotten their makers, the Ribono Shel Olam, v'ayven eicholos. And when they built the eicholos, they copied the goyim. I'm b'tshuva zecham soifashim chofches mechonis zefrayim b'tshuva amre esh. The Hungarian, so the Bialocha said, this is a terrible thing if the beam is in the front. And in Hungary, this was a major issue, because that was the was a very big issue in Hungary. The Chasam Sofer started it, but he went after this for another couple of generations. Later on, he moved on. I know this because there was a shul which was built in Hungary. My great-grandfather was over in that shul. My great-grandfather was over. It's a shul. It was a kehila, a very, very, very big kehila, called Papa, P-A-P-A. And the rav of that shul the shul was built in a way that was long before the shul was built, before the reform movement started. And for some reason, I don't know exactly what the background of that was, but for some reason the beam was towards the front in that shul. I've seen it myself. He's towards the front of the shul. And whilst this was fine for many years, but eventually when the reform actually had the agenda of putting the beamers towards the front, and then it was problematic. It was a very frum shul, but it was a problem. So whilst he was rov there, it was fine. When he was nifta, they had a serious problem. Because with takon of the chsam soif, that no rov may take a shul over, no rov may take a position on a shul which the beam is in the front. He was very adamant about talmid chsam soif in Hungary. They were very, very, very adamant about this. And he says takona, and therefore they couldn't find a rov. It was a very big issue. Chaim Sofer Mamash said, this is one of the takonas, that the bima has to be in the middle, not in the front. So Reb Moshe has got a tshuva about it. Much later years, Reb Moshe has got a tshuva in this century, I think it was in the 60s, and he says that it was a takon of the Chaim Sofer. As far as America is concerned, he said it's not so bad. He said that if the shul is run now under the right atmosphere and under the right with the right approach, the fact that the beam is in the front, he says, it doesn't really matter so much. He says, well, so in Melchemes Mitzvah, in those generations, some sofer, he says, nowadays, you can relax a little bit about this. But the truth is that the poskim, look in the chuvas of the poskim of last century, especially in Hungary and in Germany, they go about this beam and they go on and on and on about this, that the beam has to be in the middle. And anybody who moves the beam a little bit towards the front, it's a reform and it's chukas hagoy, and you're not allowed to daven there, you're not allowed to go there, and it's from the Gimel Averes. The Hungarian, it was mamash a massive, massive issue. And in fact, that's an interesting topic. I don't know if there's any. What's your knowledge of shuls there? Do you know any?
It's more towards the front. It's not towards the middle here.
That was within. Yeah, I was wondering about that. I wonder, what is it? Because in the United, which I don't know anything about the history of the United, and I don't know what the background of it is, but if you take away the, like, apparently I'm the Rome, they take away the, yeah? So how is it, is it then towards the middle? Yeah? Then it's probably towards the middle then, right? Because now it looks very much in the back. So I wonder.
Towards the front. So the Talmud was okay because they asked the Debatim that as long as there's one table in front,
Machinza. Ah, really? That's interesting. Punkt Debatim was a guy who said was the Hungarian. Was Hungarian. Very interesting. And he was Mekel, as long as there's one table in between, that's fine. Right. Yeah. Right. So this was. Nowadays, I think this issue doesn't really. Is not so. But it is, for instance, the very famous shul in Budapest, pub. Hampstead is towards the front. There is a very, I think the most, I think one of, probably the most, apparently the most, the largest shul, one of the most beautiful shuls in Europe is the shul in Budapest. It's considered a very, very, it's a very prominent shul, and it's a very beautiful shul. It was built very much with a beam in the front, and it's an ancient takona that there's many people are makpe not to go there. To this generation, they go sightseeing in Hungary, they go sightseeing in Budapest, but they will not step foot in that shul because of that. Because the Talmid Chasam Sofer, they said that you're not allowed to go there because the beam is very much towards the front. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about the window issue, that generally 4 amas is acceptable, more than 4 amas is acceptable. When it comes to shul, we need a lot more. Mishnah Berurah says 8 amas is probably sufficient, otherwise you're going to disturbing the light into shul, and that's wrong. We learned about the halacha of making sure that sewage and any passage to shul is clean and tidy, and the importance of ensuring that everybody can go to shul without a problem. We learned the Pesach Beis HaKnesses should be in the back. Ideally, it should be built that you walk into shul and you've got the Aron HaKodesh opposite you. We've mentioned many purpose-built shul are built like that. We also learned that the bima should be in the Emtzer Beis HaKnesses, as Ramo points out. And the reason what the Gemara points out is because that's how everybody's going to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. We learned that the ideal positioning of the Mispalalim should be that the majority of the people, they daven facing the Aron HaKodesh. However, the Zkenim, they face the Tzibur. That's the way that it should ideally be. The seating arrangement should be. Mishnah Berurah points out, I just want to mention that at this point, Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot and Yudalet that if the seats are sold, and you buy the seats, then this is not relevant. Okay, we'll speak more about that tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.